This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome back, everyone, to a very special episode, episode 10. First things first, I want to introduce a very special guest co-host, my wonderful girlfriend, Sarah. Hey, Sarah, if you want to just introduce yourself.
Hi, it's about time that I've been here.
Yeah, episode 10 is a very special one. We thought for a while about having a guest host for episode 10. And I just want to say, most podcasts don't ever reach 10 episodes. I think 75% of podcasts never get past 10. So we're on the brink of being in the top percent of podcasts in terms of existing, I guess. Not quality, just existing.
Yep. Now all we need is sponsors.
Guys. Yes, we just need sponsors.
Shelby Life Water, if you're out there.
If you're out there.
We will take it.
Oh, we will. We will. So before we get into our story for tonight, which I'm doing, some announcements. Primarily, we received our first submitted feedback through our website, wednesday@9pm.com. Very exciting. This is separate from the app review. So I just want to share it with everyone and encourage people to submit their own. So this was left on episode 4, my episode, The Hexenmeister's Hug. And I really enjoyed researching that episode, going through over 100-year-old newspapers. So it was a great, a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So for the feedback, the given name they went with is Pooh, and they said, "This episode stinks." So shout out to Pooh. Thanks for the kind words. Remember to leave feedback like this on our site. And I think it was Wolf that submitted that when I showed the site. So shout out to Wolf, who's in our Discord right now, listening in, along with our friend Derek. So shout out to those two. Oh, he just turned his video on. So give me a thumbs up. Very sweet. So without further ado, I'm going to tell you guys a little shoddy story that I was able to throw together about Saratoga Springs.
Oh, it was just there.
So as in doing my research, yes, one of my favorite places near.
One of my favorite places too.
Oh yeah, look at that.
We love it there.
We do love it there. We do.
Not the Catskills though.
It is not in the Catskills, no, but still a wonderful spot.
Sometimes that's okay.
Okay. Wow. That's okay. Dissing the Catskills on my own podcast. I'm going to cut that out and post. No, I'm not. So I was able to find a story of a haunted horse.
Oh. Huh?
Sarah, you're making a face. What's the face?
A haunted horse?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
How can it be haunted if it's like an animal? What? You mean like a demon took over it?
It's a haunted horse. I can find.
It's a haunted house.
Its body is haunted?
You think you could do a story better than me about a haunted horse or a haunted Saratoga?
Frank, I don't know if there were that many brothels in Saratoga.
What was the horse's name?
The Friday. Horse was named Plops. Plops the horse. this is a true. It's not a lot of detail on this, and
no, it wasn't.
Yes. You know what, Sarah? If you think you could do a better job than me, you know what? Why don't you take over? Why don't you tell us a spooky story then, huh?
I think I will, because I have a much better story about Saratoga Springs than that.
You're telling me you have a better story?
I do indeed. Actually, I think it'd be better if I take over.
Okay, let's do it. Let's hear it. Without further ado, take it away, honey. Let's hear your story.
Hell yeah. The ladies are taking over the podcast. Watch out. One by one. One by one, we're going to knock everyone out.
Yeah, jokes on you guys. This is Sarah's story tonight.
You're so lucky, Frank.
Sarah saved my butt.
You're so lucky. We're taking this tangent. I spent hours reading a book about vampires. And you do this.
We said 10th episode, we'd have a guest host the show.
And who better to guest host?
This is going to be great, honey. Oh, you're go so ahead. Lucky.
Anyway, Sarah, I'm genuinely excited.
Yay! Who better to guest host than your favorite girlie? I mean, come on. Who better? Aaron, you're being awfully quiet.
I'm just waiting to hear about this haunted horse.
I think that was that might have been a red herring, Mr. Reeves.
Aaron wants to know about Plops the horse.
Yeah, Plops the horse.
I think actually Sarah said that that's a it's a reference to like
Bob's Burgers. It's Bob's a Bob's Burgers reference.
Yeah.
And if you understand the reference and you're one of their listeners, please let us know.
Yeah. I'm going to cut this whole part, but that's okay.
That's okay. No, don't cut this part.
Okay, I won't. We haven't got to the story. It's been like 10 minutes.
Cut some of it.
We'll cut some of it. This sentence we're cutting. Okay. Go ahead, honey. Whenever you want, take it away. No rush, your pace, whatever you want.
Okay. Indeed. My story does take place in Saratoga Springs. We love Saratoga Springs.
Yes, we do.
We visit there frequently. It's one of Frank's favorite places. Whenever he's sad, I just take him to Saratoga Springs and take him for walks in the park and get him treats.
It's not a lie. It's actually true.
That's not a lie. It's one of our favorite places. Druthers in Saratoga Springs is really good. They have a park where there's like a bunch of statues there. It's really pretty. And I figured it'd be the perfect place to talk about something that I discovered on the internet while I was trying to research another story. And this just completely took me off the rails. It's bigger than all of us. It's bigger than this podcast. Like, it is insane. And then it ends up not really being insane. So I hope.
Take us on the ride. I hope
it's good. Yeah. So a little bit about Saratoga Springs, if people don't know. Originally, Indian tribes like the Mohawk people used it as a hunting ground, and Saratoga Springs, its name is Saratoga Springs, so there are natural mineral springs in the area, and the Indian tribes that lived there thought it was a gift from their fundamental life force or their deity or something that there were like springs in the area.
Interesting.
The British built Fort Saratoga in 1691. And in the French and Indian War, there was this guy who was fighting for the British called William Johnson, and he got injured in the war and was treated for wounds by some of the Indian tribes that lived there in about 1767.
Gotcha. So,
is this the William Johnson, like the Sir William Johnson, who Johnstown is named after?
Johnson.
Yeah, Sir William Johnson is the founder of Johnstown.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. Oh, we'll put it in the show notes. We'll figure it out afterwards. And okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He was pretty prestigious. But so we got some Thanksgiving stuff happening there. He was actually involved with a lot of the indigenous people. He learned a lot of their cultures and customs. And he learned to really care about some of the groups that live there. But later on, this man named Gideon Putnam solidified Saratoga Springs as like a European/American settlement. And that happened in 1776 when he built a hotel for travelers to come and go.
Nick's making a face. I think he knows the place.
Yeah.
I think so.
Obviously, I'll wait though. It's important to the Revolutionary War because the Battle of Saratoga was a big turning point in the Revolutionary War. It actually didn't happen in Saratoga Springs. It happened like 15 miles away. But that's really insane significance. And now Saratoga is best known for its race course, which is beautiful and big and visited by many people. Now it's a beautiful city that we frequent often, and it has a little more than 28,000 people living in it.
It was a big place.
That's a great.
Yeah, that. Sorry.
Also, Nick, just so you know, I believe it is the same Sir William Johnson.
Yo, let's go.
Oh, look at that. Wow, you're very prolific guy. Those places aren't even super close to each other. I mean, how far away is Saratoga and Johnstown?
40 minutes.
40 minutes? I got around back then, back in the day.
True.
But yeah, so yeah, I didn't know that's history about Saratoga. You can tell it's a very old place, right? They the hotels, the buildings, the public buildings, all of that, they evoke a strong 18th, 19th century feeling. So that's some very interesting history. And for context, I think we left out, this is just in upstate New York, 30 minutes north of the capital, right?
Yeah. Saratoga County. It's namesake.
It's a great place. Highly recommend. If you're looking for some place to live, look into that.
Yes, expensive.
If you're looking for someplace affordable, don't look there.
Outside of it, though, Washington County or Warren County, perhaps.
There you go.
There you go. I just have expensive tastes.
Yeah, we're actually shifting no this comment. Podcast to real estate analysis.
But yeah, that sounds great.
So my story is about the Witch of Saratoga. Ooh.
I've very heard, spooky. I've heard You've mention heard of thing? That.
I've You've never heard of that? This.
When I was rifling through Frank's books.
Oh, no.
Wait, it's in one of my books?
I didn't read the story. I saw what it was, and then I was like, oh, that could be good. But then I didn't decide to do anything witch-related.
Look at that. It's got Nick's half stamp of approval. Pre-approval. What about you, Aaron? Have you ever heard of this?
I have not heard of it. But I'm excited to hear about both the Witch of Saratoga and Klops the horse.
I knew you were going to say
that. Did you say Klops or Plops?
Yeah, it's Plops, not Klops.
Sorry.
The Klops would make more sense, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the sound?
Wait, does the hotel come back or no in the story?
It does not.
Okay, so, was the hotel the Adelphi?
No.
Oh, that's like the old hotel right on Broadway.
I guess, that I thought, they, yes, that it was. What's
say
it?
Is haunted.
Wasn't it the Adelphi?
That, yeah, that's definitely it's definitely haunted, but the one that I'm talking about is not it.
Oh. I was thinking
the one that you referenced earlier though, was that the Adelphi?
No.
Okay. How many haunted hotels?
Union Hotel.
Oh, why does that sound familiar?
Aaron's story is about the Union Hotel in Jersey. In Jersey. A different Union Hotel.
I was like, wait, that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, we're all over the place. Okay, okay, honey. So who's this witch?
Yeah, okay. So my story is about the Witch of Saratoga. Very spooky. Spooky
very
scary.
Spooky.
Halloween in August. Am I right, boys?
Oh, yeah.
July's over. Yeah. In my book, it's Halloween time.
It's close. It's so, getting close.
The Witch of Saratoga is like kind of a legend slash mystery kind of story, but it's actually referring to a woman known as Angeline Tubbs.
Tubbs?
Angeline Tubbs.
It does sound like a fake name, but
Angeline
I'll trust
you. Or Angelina. It's some people say it, some people list it differently. So it's either Angeline or Angelina.
What are you going to go with? What do you prefer?
I'm going to go with Angeline because okay. That's what it looks like written out.
Got it. Got it.
So Angeline Tubbs. Okay. Angeline Tubbs was apparently born in a pub. Like born in a pub.
Oh man.
Damn.
In Northamptonshire, England. And She was born in the pub where her parents were landlords of this pub. So I guess they loved the place so much that not only did they live there and own the building, but they had their child in that building.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
This happened in 1761. She was apparently born in a pub. So 1761 is before America was even born. So the story takes place a really long time ago.
Got it. Wow.
Speaking of America not being born yet, about 15 or 16 years later, she was apparently either married or engaged, or no one really knows, to a British soldier, like a redcoat, a British soldier that was going to fight in the Revolutionary War and move to America. Yikes. And she decided to follow him.
So she was 15 or 16?
She was 15 or 16. Talk about...
Seems a little old commitment. For the time.
Yeah. Yeah, she was late.
Yeah, she was getting too old. She couldn't be picky anymore.
Man, Leonardo DiCaprio would have loved it back then.
Oh my god.
So she was married or like engaged to this soldier, and she followed him all the way to America during the Revolutionary War, and they were together, and then the Battle of Saratoga happened.
Oh.
Which was kind of a turning point.
Uh-oh.
And he abandoned her. He left her, like completely abandoned her, like, peace, bye, I don't want you anymore, and literally left her all alone at 20 years old in this place that she's never been before. In a new country.
Did he die? in battle, or did he like disappear? Did it like he literally just like left her?
Honestly, that's kind of a sucky thing to do. So I didn't look into what happened to him. I frankly don't care.
It made you feel sad. So you didn't look.
Bro died.
That's fair. Like,
man, I hate that guy.
Yeah.
Still so, but here's the thing, though.
Shouldn't have died.
It's either he abandoned her and left her, or he tried to murder her.
Oh.
And she got away. So there's conflicting stories going on. One half of people who tell the story say that she was just left and abandoned, and he was like, peace, I'm going with my war boys. Have fun dying alone in the woods where you've never been before. And then the other half, particularly this guy named Joe Heydrich, who actually does Saratoga ghost tours all the time. He has a book called Haunted Saratoga. He knows a lot about this Witch of Saratoga character.
Link in the show notes.
Yeah, according to him. No, he actually tried to strangle her.
Oh.
And then she got away.
Why? Did it say
and
why?
Ran away because of that. I don't know, men. It was okay. 17. It was 17, but a little before 1776.
That explains it.
People.
That explains it. You know, guys going around out in the streets strangling their wives.
Exactly. If you got sick of them, you just murdered them.
The one thing I'll say. So would you say that this story has different perspectives?
Frank, I was just about to ask that.
You're going to see that it has a lot of different perspectives by the end.
Oh, boy.
I like that.
Okay.
I'd say I would argue that you love that now.
Yeah. You know, I'll play a little soundbite in right here for context.
I like stories with different perspectives.
Okay. It was played.
That was not nearly enough time.
No, I'm going to put it. It's going to.
It doesn't pause the recording.
Yeah, then. It's going to go in between.
Okay, are we ready? Okay. So she gets abandoned, whether or not someone tries to murder her.
Yeah.
Or she's just gets left. She just gets abandoned, and she's all alone in this really strange new world. No one has been to America before. It's not developed or anything. It's not the Saratoga Springs that we know now. So from where she is, she walks about 15 miles through the woods alone to what is the location of Saratoga Springs, which is not a city, but it's just kind of like, you know, people getting together and forming communities and
the
stuff.
Little village.
She just stumbles upon this place, right?
Yeah.
But living in the woods for however long it took her to walk 15 miles, she decides, actually, no, I'm not going to integrate with society. I'm not going to meet new people. Instead, I'm going to build myself a tiny shack out of nature's gifts, like wood and straw, at the base of a mountain called Mount Vista, which is also called Angeline's Hill now.
Oh, we have to go here.
Because
tear down the house.
Desecrate that. No.
She apparently had this little shack, okay, that she made for herself out of all of these like nature-y things.
Wow, props to her.
At the base of Mount Vista, and she started to live there and just live out her days.
I see what this
without
is going.
A man.
People don't like that, right? People like it when the weird women live out on their own on the edges of society.
People indeed don't like that. No. No, they don't.
Classic. It's a classic setup. Classic setup for a witch.
Did her house have giant chicken legs by any chance?
No, I didn't see any in the pictures that they sent over.
Okay. What right. is that well, a reference to?
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga.
I've heard that. I actually don't know what a Baba Yaga is.
Oh, my God. I'll have to do an episode on it.
Okay. Link in the show notes to Baba Yaga.
The Russian witch? Anyway. Sarah, please continue.
Okay. Okay.
Another thing about this lady is that she loved cats. She was a cat lady.
Really?
And she was a cat lady her whole life. And at any given time around her, she had 20 or more felines accompanying her in her travels.
So like in her little hut in the woods made of like sticks and stones.
Those
and
weren't kittens, those were bobcats. 20
cats? Yeah, like 20 like jaguars.
So she's like the lions. Definition. She's the definition of like the weirdest.
Yeah.
Lady, like weirdest nature lady.
So she was the trendsetter for the crazy cat lady trend.
She really, really was. And this also combined with some accounts that say that she wore this red cloak. Think like a Red Riding Hood cloak, but almost in like a witchy sense. Like if Red Riding Hood was witchy.
I could picture
there's
this.
One source that claims that she got it from her fiance or husband because he was a red coat. So he gave her a red cloak. So she wore that all the time. Okay. And personal, like primary sources of people that saw her.
Oh, nice.
Written primary. In a diary. What?
Nice. Nice use of primary sources.
Yeah, thanks. We'll talk about that in a bit. But primary accounts describe her as, quote, having a sharp, sallow, and wrinkled face, her nose being high and hooked like an eagle, with sunken, coal-black eyes, sometimes crossed as needed.
What?
And that primary source says, quote, indeed, from her appearance and occupation, it was fortunate for herself that she lived more than a century after the tragedies enacted by her Puritan ancestors at Salem.
I was thinking about Salem, about how...
So she looked like a witch.
Yeah.
she checked off all the boxes.
She checked off all that. Now, here's the question. Smash or pass? Angela and
Do you have, like, a sketch? Or anything? Or are there we going with imagination?
There is a photograph. We're going to talk about that photograph, though.
Okay. Gotcha. We'll have the... Is the photograph worth including in the show notes? Should we...
Yeah.
Okay. Look right now for the photograph in the show notes of Angeline Tubbs, right? Tubbs?
Angeline Tubbs.
Also, so you're saying this is a primary source. Do you trust this description? Or do you think it's, do you think this is an accurate description, I should say? Or is it like, you know, that lady is weird and lives in the woods. Therefore, she probably looks like, she's got a big hooked nose. Or do you think this is an actual, like a really accurate description?
We're going to talk about that after the story's over.
Okay, great.
So, quick question. Do you think that she got to look like a witch based on, like, living in the woods for years? Or do you think she was always looked like this?
Well, apparently, there were a group of people that accused her of being a witch and tried to hang her.
She is so unlucky.
But the noose broke.
Oh,
and
that's...
she managed to get out.
Oh,
but because of, I guess, the struggle and the way that it was around her, the damage from that struggle apparently wrenched her face into a permanent scowl.
That's dark.
So it was probably that.
If you, gotcha. If you like, you know, survive a hanging... That's more evidence that she is a witch.
Literally.
She's on the side of the woman stranglers right now.
She's not doing well. She survived strangling twice. She's definitely a witch.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I'd say, I mean, yeah, that. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Did she just escape? No, 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 no. She's a witch.
Yeah. Speaking of being a witch. She after, you know, she became a little too old to hunt for food in the wild like she was used to doing from her shack, she resorted to going down the streets of Saratoga Springs and telling fortunes for people, asking for pennies in return, and kind of playing up the idea that she was a witch to earn money. Damn. In fact, we talked about the photograph like a few seconds ago, and she made copies of that photograph and passed them out to tourists for money because she needed money to eat.
Wow, she was a hustler back in the day. Like,
yeah, she really was a hustler.
She's like, everyone's gonna reject me. You know what? Let me market that. Let me capitalize on that.
Yeah, she was a hustling woman. And she was kind of an outcast. In fact, one of the primary sources states, quote, "Surrounded by a numerous brood of cats, her sole companions, she led a solitary life at home and was considered a vagrant abroad."
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Must have been easier back then to live off of, you know, like donations and pet, you know, because like taking care of dozens of cats and yourself. Mm-hmm. When you're not even
well, back then you probably just let the cat. There wasn't my organic cat food. You let them eat like the mice outside.
That's true. But like 20, but yeah, man. No, I'm super. I didn't expect you to say that she started leaning into it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I can imagine how many like legends and tales form from someone who looks the part and then like leans into it. You know.
Oh, yeah. Very interesting. In some of her most strange moments, she was seen at the top of Mount Vista with her arms extended out to the sides as thunder and lightning brewed around her.
That's cool.
And her long, quote, matted hair flowing behind her as she screamed into the storms and the clouds swirled around her. Storm. So this woman was apparently like on the top of the rocks during like when a thunderstorm hit, she would like go up there and just like scream and like throw her arms back with her hair.
With all her cats like running around her.
With all her cats floating around circling.
Cat tornado.
Getting electrocuted.
I would like to think, going into the idea that she was just leaning into all of this, she like would get like the farmer's almanac and like look where the ground, like see it, predict it would be a thunderstorm and like
figure out there. Quick, like scuttle up there.
All right, the conditions are right. Let's go, kittens.
No, literally, she was wicked. She was really, really wicked, and she was a weird-looking girl, which is unfortunate because apparently when she was younger, when she was engaged to that guy who was in the military, she was beautiful. She was reportedly beautiful. She had these really intense black eyes and long black hair that I guess she let go after she started being like a nature woman. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But she was really pretty. From all accounts, and then I guess got hanged.
You know, it could happen to any of us.
It could happen to any of us.
At any time.
Anytime.
At any time. Particularly, there's one story that's really interesting. And this is a story written by someone named William L. Stone, who's kind of like her primary biographer. He has the most body of work about Angeline Tubbs. Particularly from primary sources, like personal accounts and diaries. And this one man, apparently, recalls visiting what's called a codger, which I had to look up. It's the word for an eccentric old man.
Yeah, an old codger.
Like an eccentric.
Like a miser.
Low-key creepy old man.
Interesting.
Whose name was Crab. Who was a self-proclaimed...
No way. Wait, he was a crabby old man named Crab.
That's C-R-A-B-B.
Wow.
And his first name named or Will.
Last name?
Last name.
Oh, okay. I thought that was his first name. I'm like, that is first crazy. Name,
first name Crab? What's his last name? B?
Frank, you better leave that one in there.
Last name Leg.
Yo.
Well, he was an astrologer.
Oh, great.
We got a witch and an astrologer. They walk into a bar. It's the perfect setup for a bad joke.
They walk into a spa, a natural mineral spa. Sorry, can you repeat that? How does this codger come in?
Okay, so there's a story by this guy named William L. Stone, who's her primary biographer, who has a lot of work about Angeline Tubbs based on primary sources and diaries. And he published books, too. He published a lot of books about what he called queer people, which at the time was supposed to mean like unusual people or weird people. And she was one of those people. And in one of these books, he recalls a time when he was walking around a place called Bear Swamp, which is actually around where Lake Lonely is in upstate New York, a little bit east of Saratoga Springs. So it's actually a real place.
I feel like you're making these up.
Yeah.
Lonely Bear Lake. Swamp. Space. Lonely Lake.
Yeah. Tilted Towers.
And they're apparently in upstate
New York. Tomato Town.
All right, guys. You believe what you want. I'm just...
Honey,
I'm
we're going to visit these places. I don't believe... These places.
Yeah, I don't believe these locations, but the witch, totally on board.
Aaron's just upset that there's no clops. I mean, plops.
I really am.
I mean, crabs? I don't remember what the horse
is. I wish there was a cyclops.
True.
A cyclops?
So cyclops.
That'd be cool. But...
Yeah. So it's actually a real place, and he was there. He had just like Angeline did. He had a hut, you know, to himself, like a shack, but it was a lot more intense. Like I said, he was a self-proclaimed astrologer. Is that what call it? And apparently, according to the diary, he had zodiac signs carved in the floor in charcoal, and in one hand a skull, and the other hand a hazel witch rod.
What is
small
that?
Small fires around them.
And he had a pentagram small etched fires on his all forehead.
Around him. Yeah, long beard.
He was so that, and he was just like chilling with Angeline. And Angeline, while all of this was happening, she was. On her knees on the floor, performing a dissection of a frog.
Oh, okay.
Just like playing around with its
brutalized
body. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So she was doing that, and apparently, according to this account, it appeared as though they were working on a prolonging life spell.
Whoa.
For her.
Oh, some alchemy. Let's
so
go.
there's quote unquote primary sources claiming that she's engaging, not just leaning into the whole "I'm a witch, look at me," but also like trying to actually engage in witchcraft.
Very engaging.
Oh, with this guy. Interesting. Does she ever? I wonder. Engaging. Does she ever do any like bad stuff to people, or was she pretty harmless?
She just made her way. Telling people's fortunes for pennies and kind of scaring them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think
that's good. She never
harmed anyone, but we're gonna get to that
guy.
Later.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're working on a prolonging life spell, and this astrologer looks down at the frog, who's being mutilated, and he's like, "Oh. The quivering of these frogs' legs, that means that your cats, if you make sure that your cats live a long life and prolong the lives of your cats as long as you can, you will live as long as your oldest cat."
Wait, that's not that long though, right? I mean, how long does a cat live?
But if you have 20 of them.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
I mean, longest cats live is like 20 years.
Which... Was she like an old lady at the time?
Yes.
Gotcha.
She's working on a prolonging life spell.
Gotcha.
I'd like
right?
to think
she must have been old.
Yeah,
I'd like to think that they did figure it out, and she and the swamp wizard they got married.
And they're living to this day?
Yes.
Maybe that's part of the story. Maybe
that's my
that's your headcanon.
That's my prediction for what happens.
That's your headcanon, Nick. You're like, you know, this, in my head, that's what happens.
No, in the real world, that's what happened.
Oh, very cool. Gotcha. Life prolonging spell. Aaron, does that come up in the players, the D&D Player's Handbook anywhere? The
life prolonging?
Frog disembowelment life prolonging spell? Is that a... You think that you've seen that?
I mean, maybe.
It's a special 12th level spell.
If you want to become a lich, I guess.
I don't know what that is. Link in the description for lich, D&D, and frog dismemberment.
Don't put that.
Let's not link that.
The thumbnail of this episode will be the quivering frog legs of a disemboweled frog body. Thoughts?
I couldn't think of anything better.
I mean, if we're trying to go for all-time low viewership, then I'd say yeah.
It would entice people to frog legs. Okay, people eat frog. Don't people eat frog legs?
Yeah, the French. Yep. We've established on this podcast.
Sarah, I don't know if you know this, but we don't like the French on this podcast.
I've gathered, yeah.
We have a strong distrust.
Oui, oui?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sacrebleu.
Exactly.
I surrender.
Glad you caught on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. White, their white flag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's their national flag. Haha. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so life prolonging spell. Well, obviously that begs the question, did it work?
Well, what's interesting is that she ended up passing away at the ripe age of 104.
Oh, wow. That's
pretty long for back then.
Yeah, it was like prolonging. Not
in 1865.
Wow.
And some accounts say that she was in a poorhouse. Some accounts say that they just found her. But no matter how they found her or where they found her, she was laying dead with her last living cat dead by her side.
That's cool. That's
Wait,
pretty cool.
So do you think what Crab Swamp Wizard, what he meant with the cats prolonging the life, is it like a Puss in Boots situation where it's like
what
the
do you
nine
mean
lives?
That?
You remember in the movie he was on his ninth life? So maybe each cat they had nine lives, right? And that
I have not seen the new Puss in Boots.
Oh, spoilers.
But I think they were all Puss in Boots.
Oh, okay, good.
She was probably so bored she made boots for all of them.
I don't know, she seemed pretty busy if she was doing a life prolonging.
She's going down like Broadway. Is that the name of the main road there, right? Broadway?
Yeah.
With the very Broadway, and just like being like hooked and hunched over, and I'll read your palms, honey. Give me a...
My pretty?
Give me a nickel, which is like, what, like $1,000 back then, right? Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess this spell worked.
Yeah, I guess you're right. This spell worked. That's crazy to live to 104 in the 1800s. And in the future, fast forward in the future, in terms of sightings and things that cannot be explained, which I know this podcast is actually about, there was this guy named Ben Carradine or Carradine who went to Yaddo for some writer's retreat in like 1932. And he reports seeing two spirits that were walking along a lake in that area around Yaddo. One of which was wearing a red military jacket and one of which was a woman who was very sad. Who looked very upset.
She was reunited with her one true love. And she
one true love
it.
That apparently, by some accounts, tried to strangle her to death.
Damn, she can't even escape him in the afterlife.
But that happened in 1932. And then fast forward 1955, this is the same guy. And he was driving past Mount Vista, admiring a sunset or something, and he stopped, and then he started to climb the hill. He started to climb Angeline's Hill. And as he was climbing, a thunderstorm just rolled in immediately, and it was getting kind of dangerous. So he got scared and took shelter under a rock, an overhanging rock. But from that position, he looked up, and at the very top of Mount Vista, he saw a figure standing, arms stretched out, hair and cloak withering in the breeze, screaming at the top of her lungs.
Oh my God.
As the thunder and the lightning rolled in. And then as the storm stopped, the figure vanished into thin air.
That's pretty cool.
So, Witch of Saratoga? Question mark?
Question Remy, mark? What year was that? That was
1955.
So that's almost 200 years after.
I thought you were going to say 200 years ago. I'm like, Frank, that's not right.
Frank.
No. It was 90 years after she died.
90 years after she died. Yeah, died. Gotcha. Wow. I met. Kind of cool. That's kind of cool. Yeah. This makes me want to go there.
And that's the legend of Angeline Tubbs, the Very Witch cool. of Saratoga.
Very cool. Well.
So Sarah.
Yeah.
Since you're a guest on the podcast, we're not super familiar with your beliefs of, do you believe in the supernatural? What are your takes on this? Do you believe that she was a witch? Do you believe, like, what are your thoughts?
Well, Aaron, there's actually a second part to this that I'm going to explain that should answer all of your questions.
I love how you just like, you're like, that's the story. And we're like, oh, that's, and now you're like, oh, wait.
Well, that's the story, but there are facts.
Tech facts?
There is a wedding certificate.
There are facts. With the astrologer. So.
Interesting.
First of all. First of all, you might hear the story and be like, well, that's fake. She obviously wasn't a real person. She was absolutely a real person. There is proof that there was a person called Angeline Tubbs living in the Saratoga Springs area in a home worth about $25. So
is that adjusted for inflation or no?
I guess, but it's reported on the census, and the census from that time, there is a woman named Angeline Tubbs. She definitely existed. Okay. And everything kind of lines up with, you know, self-reporting her age and the year. There was definitely a woman like that. And the pub that she was apparently born at was called the Star and Garter Pub, which also lines up because around that area, there were a lot of witchy things happening. That pub specifically was apparently very witchy in nature. In fact, underneath the floorboards during one of the repairs in the building, because now it's just private residences and has new owners and stuff.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago, they found this weird glass bottle filled with witch prevention items, such as fish hooks, human teeth, and a weird mysterious liquid.
Oh.
And historians say that that is a common anti-witch thing from a really long time ago.
Like,
so
what is it, like people would put a concoction of things around an area to like keep away witches?
I guess so. Or maybe they were maybe each of these things were witch preventative and they just stored them in that bottle.
It's like a hex bag.
What is a hex bag?
This guy didn't watch Supernatural.
Oh, it's Supernatural. Is that the same idea?
It might be real. Could be a real like thing that people did.
What is hex bag in Supernatural?
Oh, it's to like ward. It's to like essentially like cloak or like hide your location from certain entities.
Gotcha. So similar to like that lining doors, window sills with salt.
Yeah.
Doorways with salt and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. What do you think the mystery liquid is, Sarah? What do you think? What's that mystery liquid? I think we know. Yeah, it's definitely.
I think it's blood.
Plasma.
Like blood plasma?
No.
Blood marrow watered down.
Is that blood?
How do you get? Interesting.
A lot of spit. Everyone in the pub spit in that bottle.
That was for the witches.
That was actually just a spittoon.
And like people use it as trash.
Yeah.
And then like hundreds of years later, people are like, yes, this archaeological find, it's a witch preventer. Yes.
It's so witchy and cool. Wow.
It was a chamber pot.
So that area around where she was born, that lines up because there were a lot of witchy things happening.
Interesting.
That's okay. However, we don't have any record of the landlords that were there at the time. And also, there's no birth record of an Angeline or Angelina Tubbs being there or being born there in the year 1761, or no record of Angeline Tubbs being born anywhere in England in that year.
Wait, but you said she shows up in the census later?
Later in Saratoga Springs, New York.
Oh, wait, does that imply what I think it implies? Like that's...
Well, it raises a question. Because it suggests that there is a non-zero chance that Angeline Tubbs was not English or wasn't born in England.
Interesting. Or that's not her real name?
Or maybe that, yeah. Or there's no record of a marriage between Angeline Tubbs and any man in England around this time. They could have just not got married and could have been engaged, but that also introduces a non-zero chance that this man never existed and she wasn't English at all and she never came over, especially since on those censuses in New York, she consistently reported herself as 20 years younger than being born in 1761. She reported her age as if she was born in 1781.
Interesting.
So she could have been born in America.
Yeah.
Do you think she would have made up the story?
Not have been English at all. And that man could have like never existed. And that story could have been completely fabricated.
Was she white for sure? Like, was she was it like a Native American, like star-crossed lover situation? And then they wanted to hide it? Or was she definitely white?
I don't know.
Could probably check the census record. Mm-hmm. 17... When did you say she was documented in Saratoga? What years?
1850 and 1855.
Okay, so you could check those. And it would say. So maybe. That'd be interesting.
Maybe.
Interesting. So no birth record, but later on later in her life, she shows up in the census reports for Saratoga Springs.
Exactly. And then... on those census reports, she self-reports herself as 20 years younger than she was supposed to be if she was born in 1761. But she listed her birthplace as New York.
The state or the city?
The state.
Gotcha.
With a house worth $25.
Damn, imagine getting the house now for $25.
You can. It's called steal it.
Okay. In addition to this... there's also no record of her death, and there's no record of her dying, only a newspaper announcement that announced that Angeline Tubbs died at age 96 in 1856. So,
interesting.
Died younger than the legend says that she died, and before the legend said that she died.
9 years earlier and 5 years younger. No, not 5 years younger.
20.
Eight years younger.
Yeah. So.
Wait, interesting.
Who knows if maybe this was added to the story by someone else, if she added these details to her own story, or anything like that, but. It's pretty likely that she did not die at the age of 104. She probably died at a more respectable age of 96, or even if she was, you know, 20 years younger than that, like 76.
Gotcha. I wonder. I mean, 96, even 96 is kind of crazy, especially if you're living on the outskirts of society and you're poor and, you know.
You live in a shack.
One little infection, right? You should be dead.
Whoa. Those people have the best immune systems.
Because they just eat dirt. And so yeah. Good point. Good point. So that's interesting. So what is your take then? Do you, you're putting more faith in the census records? Cause I mean, even that is not, you know, that's usually self-reported and stuff, but I guess that's more accurate than a legend from decades later, right?
Yeah.
Centuries later, even.
Centuries later, yeah. Sightings and all that. Very interesting. But it seems like she really did exist.
It's just interesting. She definitely existed, but the circumstances around her life, like her birth and her death, who knows who added those details and who knows yeah. how much of that is true. The other thing that's literally not true is, remember when I said that she like passed her photograph around to people?
Yeah.
And played into it?
Yeah.
This is the photograph in question. I'm going to send it in the chat so that we can all look at it together.
Awesome. And this will be in the show notes. Oh.
Is it?
She looks fine. It's in the voice channel.
Yeah.
Text channel.
Oh.
Angeline Tubbs.
And this was apparently the only known photograph of Angeline Tubbs. So if you literally look up Angeline Tubbs, this is the only photograph that pops up.
I mean, she looks like a witch.
Maybe she started her hustle at the ripe old age of 97.
And the story goes that like someone took this picture of her, someone completely separate, just like walking around Saratoga Springs. And then she just took it for herself and started making copies of it. That's like what the fantasy story is. But actually, yeah. The earliest publishing of this photo was in 1906, which is supposedly like, what, like 50 years after she died?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Right?
So it's actually not a photo of Angeline Tubbs at all. What? It's a doll that is dressed up to be one of the witchy characters in Saratoga Springs, someone entirely different. It's not her at all, and it's not even a human. That's you really thought that's a person?
Yes, it looks like a person. What do you mean? You
don't it's think it a looks doll. Like a... So that's not even her at all.
Interesting.
It's a dummy.
So this caption on the picture is just totally wrong.
Yeah, people literally repost this photograph everywhere. Like, this is the witch of Saratoga. It's not even her. It's a doll.
You're so, wow.
That's supposed supposed to look like another witch.
Of the Saratoga region?
Yeah, another witch entirely.
This is all sounding like your first story.
I was about to say, this is very reminiscent of my first story, which is mm-hmm. about Long Island, about the Country House restaurant, where a woman, there's a legend around a woman who died in weird circumstances, and there are sightings of her, and then the legend takes a life of its own, and when you look into it, you find out in that first episode, it turns out none of it is probably true. But there are a lot of sightings of some of the ghost, but there's mm-hmm. no historical records whatsoever, and I don't think she existed whatsoever. But in this case, she did exist, it seems.
She definitely existed.
Then what is true? What do you think?
But this story becomes so much more of a old lady not conforming to society. So let's pretend she's a witch vibes mm-hmm. more and more. Because also, there's literally no personal record other than that story that I told that was in that book by William L. Stone about the crab witch wizard man
yeah.
with the legs, with the frog legs. Next other body. Than that, there are no other personal accounts of anyone going to this woman or her doing witchy things at all. There's no record of her being a witch, and it's much more likely that she was probably a weird lady who just wanted to be left alone. In particular, that strangulation that I described in the beginning when her husband decided to kill her instead of be with yeah. her, right? Supposedly, maybe not. But if that was true, it's possible that strangulation might have caused like mental damage. When you survive something like that, lack yeah. of oxygen to the brain for a prolonged period of time like that creates mental damage.
Maybe. So, it makes you a witch.
It unlocks. Or it unlocks witch powers.
But there are certain accounts that genuinely believe that Angeline Tubbs was some kind of mentally disabled woman who just wanted to be left alone.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but that's kind of funny.
Literally. So this poor lady, also, literally, that bottle, that the mysterious witch bottle that was found underneath her home, like, oh my god, where she was born, right?
Yeah.
With all the witchy things happening. Those bottles weren't put into production, those types of bottles, until like the 1830s, which is years after she was supposedly born.
Unfortunate.
Interesting.
So interesting. That doesn't even like.
Well, maybe she tried to go check out her old stomping grounds and people got scared.
Yeah, just fly across the Atlantic Ocean real quick.
Hey,
yeah.
If there's one thing I know about another kind of witch, she could definitely do that.
Nick's referencing the Bell Witch in, was it
Tennessee?
Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That was that story, the Bell
very,
Witch,
very similar.
Is a disembodied spirit, but the witch is named after Kate Bell, who kind of matches this exactly. Who was just an odd woman who lived on the outskirts of a society.
Didn't conform,
and people accused her of being a witch. And when there was a sort of poltergeisty activity on one of the ranches in Tennessee, even though there weren't many connections to Kate Bell, the woman, the weird woman, except I think maybe the disembodied voice once said, "Oh, I'm Kate Bell's witch," or something, whatever. People all blamed it on the weird woman.
And
so, man, weird women. Not a good, I guess there's never a good time to be a weird lady on the outskirts of society.
Why not just call the weird lady a witch?
Yeah, I mean,
say, you know, whatever. She was often associated with, you know, people who had other, you know, mental disabilities or other outcasts in society. One of which was Madame Jumel, which refers to a woman named Eliza Jumel, who was the ex-wife of Aaron Burr.
Oh.
The Aaron
from
Burr.
From
the play Hamilton.
My favorite play.
My favorite musical.
That I've never watched.
Really?
She, unfortunately, as she got older, she suffered from dementia. And the dementia got worse and worse, and she was often associated with people like that. In particular, the same man, her primary biographer, William L. Stone, told a story about how they were in a prayer circle in 1850 with a bunch of other people, and they were yelling to bless, you know, God bless this person, God bless this person, kind of like when you pray in church and they ask to pray for a bunch of people that are associated with the church, kind of like that. And someone yelled out to pray for Madame Jumel and Angeline Tubbs, and the church burst out laughing and then threw them out, essentially, and they ran away in shame.
The person who shouted their names, like, oh, let's pray for these poor people,
yeah,
got laughed out of a church?
Yeah, along with the two women.
Damn.
That person, Angeline Tubbs.
And let's pray, yeah. My grandma does that when we say grace. She says grace, and then she goes, and, you know, God bless everyone. And most of all, your grandma. And we all laugh. We're like, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we don't laugh her out of the room. But that's so sad. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, more and more, it seems like it's just a poor old lady with...
Yeah, apparently the only person that was nice to her was a woman called Mrs. Washington Putnam, who was the daughter of Gideon Putnam, who opened that hotel.
Interesting.
He's also considered one of Saratoga Springs' founders, but she was nice to Angeline Tubbs, and she was like one of the only people that was nice to Angeline Tubbs.
And Mr. Sometimes, Krabs the Wizard.
Yeah, and Mr. Krabs the Wizard. And apparently Angeline Tubbs would like give her fortunes all the time for free because she was so nice to her.
And but that's potentially true, that part where she would be giving fortunes to people. Then
that's apparently true. But you know what's like kind of weird? That guy William Stone, her primary biographer, the story behind where he got a lot of his stories is really interesting. because he claims that he was hiking one day with a friend in 1864, and he was hiking around the area of Mount Vista and unfortunately found a skeleton that was wedged between two rocks.
Oh.
Kind of indicating that whoever the skeleton belonged to committed suicide by jumping off of the mountain.
Oh,
so, like,
wow.
the top where Angeline, like, gathers her cats and swirls.
Collects
with her
lightning
hair.
Bolt energy.
Yeah, someone, yeah. like, went, whoo, jumped off. And died. On purpose. The skeleton was kind of, like, wedged, right? And in the bag that he carried with him was a notebook with the word Shelley in the front. And William Stone, who found this notebook, assumed that Shelley meant Percy Shelley, who was an author at the time.
Okay.
Author, poet, I think.
Who lived in the area.
And in that notebook were all of these stories, like Mr. Krabs the Wizard.
What?
The description of Angeline Tubbs, all of that. Like, he took those stories from that diary, from that notebook.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What a random...
But you know what's so interesting weird. About that?
What is interesting? I mean, that's a very interesting story. So what is even more interesting?
You know what's interesting about that? Well, he apparently just like held on to that Shelley notebook for 5 years, just like kept it to himself.
Okay.
Which is like kind of whatever. And other things in that notebook were unusual. Like, he claimed that this guy Shelley apparently met up with all of these really important historical figures, some of the likes of General Lafayette.
Was that the French general who helped the U.S. side, or I guess the colony side?
Yeah. At time periods where they wouldn't have been there.
Mm.
So it turns out...
Uh-oh.
So it turns out, according to one of the sources that I looked at, it's like an association that looks into things that have to do with like occult things. They're really passionate researchers. Everything is like fabricated about that story of finding that journal in the skeleton's bag. Like, there's okay, a couple things. If you jumped off of that Mount Vista,
thanks for demonstrating this. On video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To the listeners, I did a dive motion. If you jumped off of that mountain, it wouldn't kill you. It's not. Oh. It's not high enough.
How high is this? Is this a little like a little hill, a glorified hill?
I guess maybe it's just like an overhanging rock.
Uh huh.
I guess.
Well, we're gonna
but
go
the point
here.
Is,
so we'll take
the
pictures.
Point is that we'll if test. He was talking about a place, it would have been in a place like entirely different from where Angeline Tubbs would have lived, in a place called Devil's Den, located in the Daniel Road State Forest now, which is a little bit north of Saratoga Springs.
Interesting.
So the locations aren't lining up. Okay. Apparently this whole story is false. And William L. Stone maybe made up some of the stories about Angeline Tubbs dissecting a frog.
So you don't think Percy, the Percy guy
in
existed
the
at all?
The swamp. What?
Did the author / poet Percy exist at all? Or is this...
He did.
He existed?
Yeah.
But did the notebook exist?
Apparently it's just like he didn't find any notebook from anyone else. And Angeline Tubbs, the description that he gives in all of his books that he writes about her, this William Stone guy, has a strikingly similar description to one of his father's characters in his book called Elizabeth Goody Clausen, who is also a witch. And some excerpts from Stone Jr.'s books about how he describes Angeline Tubbs are quotable when compared to his father's.
His father was
William
an author.
William Stone Sr.
So his dad was an author who wrote fiction about witches, and his son, William, was like, I'm going to make up a story about a local witch, but I can't even come up with my own ideas, so I'm just going to take my dad's ideas.
Yep.
But then he chose to not make up a person, but choose an actual person who existed, who was just like a marginal, like a person on the edges of society, and, mm-hmm. and made up stories about her to the point where the picture here, the courtesy Saratoga Springs Public Library has wrong captions and a totally wrong picture of a doll.
That photograph was on the front of a newspaper and was described as being her.
Was it super old or kind of recent?
No, I believe the Saratogian, which is a newspaper, Saratoga County.
Uh-huh.
Like a really big newspaper. I might be wrong, though. I might be wrong about that. But gotcha. A big newspaper, like, just right on the front. This is Angeline Tubbs.
Oh, here's the picture. Look at that. Witch of Saratoga. Left behind by the British, Angeline Tubbs became a hermit and fortune teller. Some wonder if she may still be around. Wow.
But that's also the problem with, like, having these stories come from, what, one guy?
Yeah.
One guy who found this notebook in the middle of nowhere and decided to retell these stories. So that concludes the legend story. And you know what? Just leave the old ladies alone who want to be left in the woods, possibly mentally disabled. Just leave them alone.
That's a good rule of thumb, I would say. A good moral to stick by. Don't try to strangle the weird people.
Don't try and strangle people and leave them in the woods. And also, don't base an entire fantasy character that you have in your head on an actual person who's being thrown out of churches because they're kind of weird and quirky.
Wow.
Or if you do, get your facts right.
At least make it
consistent.
Yeah, at least make fun of them for who they actually are, not who you make them out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So she probably wasn't a witch. She was probably just a crotchety old lady that wanted to be left alone with her cats. Who knows if the cats are even real?
True. Oh, there's not even a record of cats necessarily.
Frank, if there wasn't a record of her being born, I don't think they kept track of her cats.
There's no birth certificates for the cats?
Probably wild cats.
Do they show up in the census? 20
mountain lions, Frank.
Yeah, 20 mountain lions. Wow. Very cool story. That's some great investigative work. Wow. Wow, yeah, I mean, what are your guys' thoughts?
So, normally, I like to, you know, play devil's advocate and believe a lot of stuff, but this one, I'm not too sure about.
Which part do you mean?
It's pretty cut and dry.
I mean,
yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
I don't think this is a reputable source.
The stone guy?
No. I don't think so. Like, do I believe that a witch could exist? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this Angeline Tubbs was one of them.
But then, what do you make of the sightings on the mountain?
That's what I was just about to say. What do you make of that guy in 1932 and 1955? What was that?
I don't know. There could have been plenty of other people. There was war that went on there. You don't think any other spirits are there?
Wait, so you think that actually would be real? Like ghosts?
Maybe.
But just not.
I'm not saying her? Like 100%, but.
Because you know what I'm going to say.
I think so, but again, it's one guy.
You know what I'm going to say?
What are you going to say, Frank?
So, this is what I think. Just like my first story, I think people thinking something enough and putting enough energy and intention into something can result in turning something that's not true and still having it. I don't want to use the word manifest because that's like,
you know the word, Frank.
I'm not going to use the word until later. Like, take form in the real world. If you have enough people thinking about it. So obviously this is a very well-known, or it was for a time, right? Maybe in the 1900s, 1800s, a well-known legend of Saratoga Springs, enough so that it's getting in the newspaper, right? Enough so that people aren't looking into this facts behind it because they must know the legend, right? So no one's like going to think of digging deep into it. I don't think it's mutually exclusive that the stories about Angeline Tubbs are false and people have seen her ghost or seen, like, have sighted her on the mountain and stuff. I think those can be true at the same time, because I think if enough people believe in the legend of Angeline Tubbs being a witch, people will see that. Does that make sense?
And then what are they seeing? What do we call it?
One, you could call that a tulpa, but yeah. it's like a term, you know, it's like such a loaded term. It's like a thought, like the idea is that you can think things into existence, which is crazy. And I bet, you know, the vast majority of people would take issue with that and disagree with that. But Sarah, what do you think about the idea? Do you think that you can reconcile some of those stories being false, but then also the sightings? Or do you think if the stories are false, the sightings also have to be made up or explainable some other way?
No, I absolutely think that both of them can be true. I can believe that Angeline Tubbs was just a normal woman who didn't do anything wrong and was probably not a witch, but also that there's probably some other random witch lady who's crazy as hell who comes back and dances in the thunderstorms and lets her hair wave behind her when the thunderstorms are going. But also, I think that what you're saying is right, where if you think something enough, you could totally think that there's a woman dancing on top of a rock during a lightning storm with her cloak flowing behind her, because it's a lightning storm. And if he's under an overhanging rock, how the heck is he looking up at the top of the mountain?
Yeah, that's
fair. If he's climbing up the mountain, has to stop halfway, because that's what the story said. He had to stop halfway because he got scared because the thunderstorm was rolling in, and quickly took shelter under an overhanging rock. How are you looking at the top of that same mountain?
That's a good point. But
I'd like a geographical analysis, please.
Well, we'll have to do some groundwork. Boots on the ground.
We'll get Fallon on it.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll do a geographical analysis.
If it's an excuse to go to Saratoga Springs and do geology and geography.
And we'll go with you guys. We'll get together. We'll make it a little thing. We should all go to Saratoga Springs.
See you guys.
And, dude. We'll all go to Saratoga Springs. Let's say next week, let's all get together. We'll find the place where she built her little hut. Let's build a hut ourselves.
There's a woman that did that.
Wait, what do you mean?
Her name was Alessandra. She built a hut where Angeline Tubbs would have built her hut, and she said that she felt one with nature and that she felt like she was with her.
Really?
A Wiccan. Yeah.
Was this recent? Was this very recent?
It was recent. She did it for some like journalism company.
Interesting. That's very cool.
And by the way, there's another ghost tour that Saratoga does with this woman named Margaret
Thatcher.
Here it is. Margaret French.
No.
Not Fairyweather. No. That's a Disney fairy. Margaret Fairyweather. Margaret French.
Margaret French.
Oui, yeah. Oui. We I know, right? Oh, French. No. Sorry, don't trust the French. But her name is Margaret French. And she retells the entire Angeline Tubbs story as a woman who just wanted to be one with nature.
Gotcha.
And no one would let her be. No one would let her be with nature. She tells it quite beautifully. Girl boss. Yeah. She tells it quite beautifully. She's very pro Angeline Tubbs in that story.
People were getting in the way of her side hustle of reading palms or giving predictions.
Tarot cards.
Yeah. But Sarah, I want to drill down more, because I am saying further than what you're saying. You're saying, oh yeah, people might see something and it's maybe someone else, like ghost of someone else, whatever. I'm saying, no, I think if enough people believe in a story, it can take root in reality a bit. Like, if I convinced a billion people that there was that Mr. Krabs was a real life entity that wore a hat and tap danced on this spot and this whatever, and like enough people thought that and were convinced of that and knew that legend, people would see like ghosts of that or apparitions of that, even though it's not true at all. Do you think that's
crazy? You think that ghosts aren't actually from real people? You think that they're human imagination?
I think it can be both. I think there are ghosts that are real people, and I think there are also things that other people see that are not real people but are from I think our minds and like our imaginations and our and like the thought, our thoughts are have much more impact than we think.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
So there's like, I think that's like a spectrum of like, you know, like some people be like, that's too far. Like a lot of people be like, that's too far. But
No, I totally agree. I think that all those guys that go to the haunted hotels and they're like, we're going to see a ghost tonight. We're going to see a ghost tonight. And they go around with their cameras and their lights and their fancy radio things. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's singing Madonna. Do you hear that? Or it's like, oh my God, the door just opened. And someone like walks in. Like,
yeah.
Hey, it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Nick every time.
Hey, it's room service. It's room
service. Oh my God. They make 5 hours.
No, but I totally agree with that. I'm for the listeners who don't know who I am such a person of if you believe it, it's true. So I totally think that you can make up whatever your mind wants you to make up because you believe something strong enough.
I think it's also that's cool. When you also think about the if that's true in the slightest, that's also very scary.
It does take practice though. You can't just do it really.
I can't just be like, I believe I have $1 million.
Well, no, but
saying you don't do daily affirmations, daily manifestations on YouTube, Aaron? You don't recite them to the mirror?
No.
This whole legend of these thought forms and everything, they're done by like Tibetan monks who spend days and days, hours meditating. You can't, you know, if it is true and your mind can do these things, it takes a lot of time and effort. You can't just do it for 20 minutes a day.
Yeah. Or what if you just have, instead of one person thinking so deeply all the time, you just have a lot of people, say Saratoga Springs, thinking a lot. You know what I mean? Maybe that like is the same where it's like,
I don't know, Frank. I feel like a cop out.
No, because I say this because
always a cop out.
Well, it's a cop out because it means that you can think things into existence, or not necessarily into existence. Like you can like think like I'm so hungry, and then like a muffin appears and you can like eat it. But like, I think
I like muffins.
Actually, I would love to do that. I'm so hungry right now, but.
Muffins.
I don't know. When you think of my first story, muffins. Then my first story, Annette Williamson didn't exist, but dozens of people see a ghost that matches the description. So it's like, it's a cop out. Yes, I agree, but I think that's kind of like the point. Like, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't fit our normal understandings of how things work, but. I totally understand that's kind of like that's definitely a fringe belief. So I'm gonna guess, Aaron. Like, what do you think about that, Aaron? What's your take then? I know you said
on this story in particular.
Yeah, I mean,
a witch, but there could be a witch, and there's also like spirits that are doing stuff. Like, I believe the supernatural evidence of like, oh, there are these figures that did this, or there is a person cackling to the lightning on top of the mountain. Sure, believe it, but I don't think that it was this Angeline Tubbs.
But it just matches the story of what Angeline Tubbs did.
Listen.
No, that's totally fair.
I mean, only one aspect matches, because like with the thing with the guy and the girl by the lake, that doesn't match the description.
Yeah, it does. It could be her and her not... Oh, wait, no. Well,
the man that left her?
Yeah, which isn't really true, it seems. Which would go into my theory that it's just a story that people like...
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I see. Yeah, I mean...
But there's also plenty of other redcoats that died.
That's true. There probably a lot of people who died.
Yeah, so I feel like it's more likely... that it was a different set of people that died. So
that's fair. So you still think though that it could be real paranormal stuff, the sightings?
Yeah. Maybe, I'm not dismissing that. I'm dismissing this particular person being a witch.
That's fair. What about you, Nick?
I think we kind of hit the... I don't think I have anything to add, really. Could be... definitely all the... With the historical facts, she definitely probably wasn't a witch. But she did exist. The sightings... There could have just been a lot happened in Saratoga, right? So, a lot of energy. You never know.
Lots busy. Of energy.
Lots
it's
of people.
It's a haunted place.
A lot of traveling, a lot of tourism, which always
and
brings
my,
a lot
I guess
of energy with
my that. Final thought on for the like the guy with his sightings, even in your Annette Williamson story. There are multiple sightings. This is two sightings, and it's the same guy.
Was it the same guy? Or was it?
It was.
Oh, it was the same guy.
Same, so only one person. And
that's kind of suspicious.
And like almost two decades apart. I think it was two decades. 1932 and 1955. 23 years apart.
Did you just memorize that? How did you know? Yeah. Wow.
So it's like that.
Nice.
It could have also been... just nothing.
Yeah, this could just like, be a guy be a knowing
hex,
the legend.
This
legends.
Might be a Hexenmeister's Hug situation.
Oh, come on. Didn't you hear the Adam?
I heard the
Come on. That definitely happened.
That's my final thought.
Our loyal fan out there gave us such good feedback on that episode. It must be true.
Yes, this episode stinks, they said.
My bad.
So, but yeah, that's very interesting. I think, well... Sarah, what about you? Any final thoughts on your part?
I don't have any final thoughts, but I really appreciated you guys letting me come on and be in your podcast.
Of course. Thanks for coming. I'm glad we were able to schedule it with all the stuff going on. And it is very late. It is soon 9 to be
p.m.
11.
9
yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's 9 p.m. Of course. Yeah, it's Wednesday, 9 p.m. right now. Definitely. And this is definitely going to be edited and posted tonight, Wednesday. 9 p.m. Wink, wink. So, yeah. Thank you, Sarah. This was a lot of fun. And I need you to come back more, whether you listen in or tell more stories. Thank you for everyone listening. Remember to like and leave a review if you want to hear more. And put some reviews or feedback on the website if you like Sarah's story, that you like Sarah being on the show and want to see her back. And same for any of our guest hosts, Troy and Ryan in the past.
For the ladies, let's go.
Yeah, we want some female. Actually, our audience is pretty split 50-50, which is very interesting. You wouldn't think it, but it is almost exactly 50-50. That's all for tonight. Check out the show notes and all references used via the link in the description. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m.
Sixty-eight, sixty-nine, sixty-five, eighty-four, seventy-two, thirty-two, sixty-six, sixty-nine. 68.